With catastrophic global warming already baked into the climate system, today's children face a future entirely unlike that of their parents. How can we maintain hope and make a difference in the face of overwhelming evidence of the climate crisis? Harriet Sugarman, Executive Director of Climate Mama, Professor of Global Climate Change Policy and World Sustainability, and Chair of the Climate Reality Project, is the author of the new book, How to Talk to Your Kids About Climate Change, which provides tools and strategies for parents to explain the climate emergency to their kids and galvanize positive action. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Harriet Sugarman to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me, Joe. It's a pleasure to be here.
Very nice to have you on the program. You know, we so often talk, and for those of us that talk about this issue a lot, about the kids, about the future, and it's important to do this for the future. So your idea here is to actually talk to the kids about it is really fascinating. How did you start this and begin this journey, if you will?
Sure. Yes, it's been a long journey for me. I had worked on climate policy at the international level for many years in New York with the United Nations, actually the International Monetary Fund, but it seemed really far away for me. It would seem to be a very big international issue, not impacting me directly. Fast forward a number of years, I had two small children, and I did a training with Vice President Al Gore with the Climate Reality Project, a new organization he was setting up back in 2006. My training was in early 2007, and it was like this light bulb going off for me, like, wow, this is happening now. This is happening all around us, and it impacts everyone, and I'm not hearing about it from my peers, from other parents with young kids. And so it took me a couple of years, but I set up an organization called Climate Mama, which was online, reaching out to parents to educate them about the realities and the urgency of the crisis, how we could talk to our kids, learning from each other. And we were the first organization at that time that was focused specifically on this. And that was so 11 years ago. And the book came out of discussions with parents who more recently were hearing from their kids, like, hey, this is happening. What are you doing about it? And right. So it felt like really the right time.
It is a scary topic. It's a scary subject. So the idea of doing this and talking to your kids without scaring the zippers off of them it has its challenges.
Absolutely. And, our motto at Climate Mama, which I've carried over into the book, is tell the truth, actions speak louder than words, and don't be afraid. And I'm sure there are things that, all of our parents in different ways are adults that we know try to inform us on. And it is scary, but we can't hide our heads in the sand. It's happening. It's happening around us. It's happening in our communities. It's happening. We're seeing extreme weather events. We're seeing impacts of the climate crisis. And so if we're seeing them, our kids are seeing them. They're talking to their friends about them. Their friends are being impacted by it. So we need to tell the truth. It's happening. It's happening on our watch, and it's happening in large part because of our actions. And scientists are telling us it's real, it's serious, but there are things we can do about it. So I think we need to stay on top of it that way, because with the internet, with access to so many resources, our kids are learning beyond us, and we want to be part of that message in having them understand that, well, it is scary. There are so many possibilities for all of us because of that.
One of the early blog posts that you wrote was regarding Father's Day and Father's Day without a father.
Yeah. Yes, I lost my father in 2015 to throat cancer. And my dad was a lifelong smoker. And while he was going through the year and a half that he was living and dying with cancer, it brought to me, someone working on the climate crisis, so many parallels, and I share that in the in my book. And my dad started smoking in the late 50s and early 60s. He thought it was really cool. I imagine there are all these ads, et cetera, all about it, and the realities and the truth about the connections between cancer and cigarettes was hidden for a really long time, even though scientists and those companies that were making cigarettes knew it. And then by the time my dad knew that and accepted that, not only was he addicted, you know, all these different reasons and things, but there's so many parallels in many ways between the, you know, our hiding the realities about the connections between fossil fuels, between what we are doing that is causing our climate crisis to get worse. And so, yeah, every father, we're coming up on Father's Day. My dad is with me in my heart, and he was so very brave through all of it. And even as we knew he was dying, we pinned our hopes and dreams on, you know, cures to come, as I think many families who deal with cancer do, even though you know how serious it is. And I think similarly with the climate crisis, it's really serious, as you started, as you've said. But there are things happening. There are scientists all over the world. There are companies. There are elected officials working on slowing down the crisis we face. And so that should give us hope and give our children hope. It's active hope. It's not hope in a vacuum. So I think there's many parallels to be made there.
Harriet Sugarman is our guest this morning. The name of the new book, How to Talk to Your Kids About Climate Change, Turning Angst into Action. There is a chapter in the book, Coming to Grips with Climate Change as a Parent, From Grief to Hope to Resolve to Action. What's interesting to me in that is that the parent has to be concerned too, right? If you have to start with that of their concern before they are willing and ready to have this dialogue with their children.
Yeah, I think so, Joe. I think that because our kids are concerned, well, they're all coming at it from different places. Some kids may not yet have those same concerns or fears, but many do. But I think for us, like many things, we should educate ourselves. We need to understand the truth about what's happening. We need to take the politics out of it. It's become a partisan issue. It mustn't. It impacts all of us, and it impacts many of us first and worst. And so coming to grips with the reality, what scientists are telling us is happening, is incredibly sad. It's awe-inspiring in many ways. We, as a singular species, have put our species and many others on our planet at risk of disappearing. You know, our planet will be here, right? Where the planet's not disappearing. She's been here for billions of years. But we are more powerful than volcanoes. We are, you know, have entered what scientists tell us is called the Anthropocene, the age of man. We are the dominant forcing agent on our planet. And that is, you know, really heady stuff to come to terms with and very sad to understand the impacts. But then we need to move through that and we need to take those next steps of building active hope, of showing our kids, because it's such a serious problem, there are an infinite number of ways we can address it. And so drive forward with your passions, whatever those are, you know, through art, through you know, working with the soil, through as a mechanical engineer, whatever it is, as a teacher, whatever it is, we can work on solutions. And I think that is driving through that grief, that hopeful part. There's no one thing to do. It's too big of a problem. There's no linear path. There's just so many opportunities, so many possibilities. And I think pointing that out to ourselves will give us more authority or more hope in speaking to our kids.
I know the results are mixed on this, at least I think they are, but once you are having this conversation and you are on this, again, this journey, if you will, with your children, and then you send them off to school, hopefully they get a good message, but they may not. And so you talk about that in the book of dealing with messaging and how to bridge that.
Right. I think that is a really important point that you brought out in terms of formal and informal education, because we are finding that education on climate, and it should be cross-curricular, intersectional, right? We hear those words all the time, but it is really important to make those kind of connections. We're seeing people make those connections now between COVID-19, between racial unrest. We need to make many connections with the climate crisis, and that's a hard one for teachers to teach if they aren't given training, if they aren't provided the textbooks. So we as parents, I think, you know, adding to the many jobs that we have is really what's being taught in our schools. What are the textbooks being made available? What is, you know, the role of the school board in making sure, putting climate education on top? And, you know, in fact, it sort of got lost in the news, but at the beginning of June, New Jersey became the first state in the nation to require K-12 climate education, and it crossed seven different curricular areas. Is there funding behind that teacher training? You know, we need to make sure that's there. So as parents in New Jersey, maybe that's what, you know, parents ask those questions, because we need to set that broad goal, and then how are we going to meet it? Washington State funds teacher education on climate science, specifically in the science area, but they've done it to the tune of $4 million in their state budget. That's awesome. You know, let's see that happen in other places. Let's get educated as parents to show our school boards and superintendents this is critically important for our children, because they're going to be living with this crisis for the rest of their lives.
So let me ask the difficult, squishy question, which is, how do we deal as parents in talking to our kids about climate change when the issue has become so politicized and polarized? And as you mentioned a moment ago, in concert with things like the coronavirus, where we would think we're going to trust science and this is bad and this is what we need to do to combat it, and yet There are politics that say, no, don't worry about it, we're just going to look the other way, which is essentially what we've been doing in the climate crisis for a long time. So how do you overcome that of, again, bridging that gap of, yes, to us and to this family unit, and maybe even in this classroom, it's a very serious issue, but once we walk out of that protected environment, it isn't?
Right, and that is an important conversation to have, and as you said, not a simple one or an easy one, but it's one I think is critical that we do have with our kids, that we explain that things aren't fair, it's not equal, things like coronavirus, the climate crisis in our own country impacts certain communities more directly than other communities. Why is that? So to have that hard conversation and to understand, you know, for us to come to terms with that, which may be uncomfortable for us as well to learn more about and to really see that, you know, depending on what zip code you're in many states, depending on, you know, where your family grows up, you're closer to an incinerator, you're closer to a garbage dump, you're closer to a power plant. It's not, you know, asthma is more prevalent. All of those things that are made worse by the climate crisis are also made worse by the poverty and racial inequality we see in our country. So you're right, maybe our family gets that, but politically we're seeing it not accepted. But that doesn't mean that we can't point out that that's not okay. And take our kids to the polls, have our kids, even very young kids, write letters to elected officials, show our kids that, you know, when we buy something, we're doing it with a company that has made not just statements, but are really walking the walk on climate, on race relations, on all of these things that we're telling our kids are important and connected. Let's show them how we're walking that walk. We're not just talking about it. So it doesn't solve all of those problems everywhere else, but how can we identify them and call them out and not hide them? And, you know, maybe that means at Thanksgiving having that awkward conversation with Uncle Bob, who thinks so differently than our family, but let's do it from a place of love, from a place of, hey, you know, this worries me, this concerns me, and see where, you know, take it from there. So I don't think we can hide from those things anymore. We see the problems that have been created all across our country. So if we stick to telling the truth and taking action and really not being afraid to do so, I think we're in a good place.
Catch Uncle Bob before he starts to drink. The subtitle of the book is Turning Angst into Action. You have a chapter in the book called Transitioning from Angst to Action. And you're talking about preschool here. I mean, get them young, right?
Oh, yeah. No, by all means. You know, we're going to have different conversations with our preschooler than we're going to have with our high schooler or our middle schooler. But when your kids are really young, you know, read those kind of books to them. Take them, you know, share stories about family stories that are relevant and, you know, give them actions to do. Spend time in nature with them. Dig in the dirt. You know, look at that little, you know, worm or caterpillar turning into a butterfly. Talk about monarchs, you know, that were here, that aren't here. Make those connections in a way that shows them love, shows them your love for these things that are important. Take them, you know, to when we can go, you know, right now, take them to a march. They're too young to remember. They won't remember, but take pictures, talk about it, make it part of your family stories, that they were there even when they were only two, and they stood up for justice. They stood up for climate justice. They stood up for, you know, making change in your community. And so all of those things just should, you know, can be part of our children's lives in a way that when they're very young, that you want them just to feel loved and that you're, you know, working on solutions. But and remind them when they're in elementary school that there are so many people working on solutions to these issues, but they're complicated, they're connected, they're not simple. So even when they're young, that is, you know, when we show them many of these things that matter and that are important to us.
So let us end here, which is the fact that, like all of us, the positive reinforcement, that a really good way of getting this message through to the kids is allowing them to see the successes and to see that action has been taken and change has been made.
Exactly. And there, you know, we sometimes in the media sometimes tend to focus on the negative because it's shocking, because, but let's show them there's so many examples from all over the world of intergenerational action, of companies, of individuals, of families, of positive moves, of things that are slowing down our climate crisis, that are impacting and addressing the injustices, that are connecting the dots on these things in a way that we're seeing successes. They might be small, some might be very small, some might be giant steps, but I think there are many if we just look to be able to point them out to our children and our family and for us to hold on to.
Harriet Sugarman is Executive Director of Climate Mama and the author of the new book, How to Talk to Your Kids About Climate Change, Turning Angst into Action. The book is published by New Society Publishers. Harriet, thank you very much for sharing with us this morning and having this important discussion. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for your great questions and your thoughtfulness, and thanks for having me on your show, Joe.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Be well. Again, the name of the book is How to Talk to Your Kids About Climate Change by Harriet Sugarman. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.